You know, there's classic passages of Scripture where God speaks of the Lord's Supper through His Word. You're probably familiar with the passage in 1 Corinthians 11. You don't have to open your Bibles there, but where He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread and He took the cup." And then there's the passage in 1 Corinthians 10, and that's a passage we're going to be talking about a lot. I'll have it on the screen here in a moment, but it's where the Apostle Paul says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" And he means that a lot of different ways. And in the King James, he doesn't call it a participation. In fact, he calls it a communion. And that word communion, it means some pretty significant things to us. And so I thought, in order to understand it today, it might be good just to look at the word communion and see how it's used in different translations and in different ways. And we're looking at three different translations. The King James is there, the New International Version, the New American Standard. And you notice that the King James says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" You think of that word communion, and I think to us that it's just become this meal, communion. You know, the only other time you hear the word communion mentioned in society, in secular society, is, I think back in the 80s, there was a book about aliens, and it was called Communion. A buddy of mine read that, you know. But other than that, communion is kind of a foreign word to our culture, and that's probably why, when the translators of the NIV presented this text, they used different words. They said, "The cup of thanksgiving which we bless, or for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ, and a participation in the body of Christ." And the New American Standard, which is probably a little more precise in some areas than the NIV, it says, "Is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ, a sharing in the body of Christ?" And we can really develop a couple conclusions from this when we think about it. First, we can see the communion of the blood of Christ means a participation in the blood of Christ. The communion of the body of Christ means a participation in the body of Christ. And likewise, it means a sharing in the blood and in the body of Christ. Now, the Greek word that is there, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch of the imagination, perhaps the good Reverend Sinelli could explain this more thoroughly. You can ask him about that later. But I know this. I know the Greek word that's used there for communion is a word koinonia, which many, many people who've been hanging around church a while, they know that word. Koinonia means fellowship. Maybe small groups that this church has over here, they call them their koinonia groups. Means the fellowship group. We use that word to mean everything from the dinner we're going to have here and about, well, preacher, oh my goodness, it's only 10:30. I got 90 minutes. That is sweet. Make yourself comfortable. Yeah. Everything from the meal we're going to have in a short time to the Lord's Supper, we use that word koinonia to speak about that. It emphasizes the sharing and participation that we have in something else. So what is it? What is it that we share in this meal? What is it that we participate in? And the first thing, if you looked at the passage, in fact, it's right there, the first thing we participate in is the blood of Christ. We participate, it says, we share in the blood of Christ. Is not the cup of thanksgiving, the NIV says, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? We share at communion time in the shedding of His blood. Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 26, and the gospel writer says it this way. He says, "Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin.'" You see, Jesus' blood is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins, for the forgiveness of my sins. And when we take communion, we're sharing in that. You know that old song, that old spiritual number that says, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" That song is just not asking a rhetorical question to say, wonder what it would have been like to be there. In fact, I believe the writer of that song is reminding us that we were there, sharing in His death. that it was us who caused him to go to the cross by our sins. And that is why he says, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. You understand that communion reminds us of our guilt, that we have done bad things. Yeah, whether you've, and I wrote down a list of them here, whether you've fibbed or committed adultery or lusted or murdered or hated or envy or cursed or spoken vulgar words, and the list could go on and on and on. Any bad thing that you have done, that is what sent Jesus to the cross. And that old question, and it comes up from time to time because people think it's a racial question or a people group question. Who put Jesus on the cross? And I don't know if you remember when Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ was out there. They were saying, he's blaming the Jews for putting Jesus on the cross. Let's set the record straight right now. It was you and me. It was you and it was me. We're the ones who put Jesus on the cross by our sins. And communion reminds us of that. It's a participation in the shedding of his blood. Now, that would be a real downer if that's all it was. But it's also, communion is a participation in the redemption that we have through his blood, by his blood. Think of the songs that we sing and have sung through the years that speak about the washing, the cleansing we have in the blood. Can you think of any? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Or what about that chorus we sing? His grace flows down and covers me. You know that amazing grace, how sweet the sound? Amazing love now flowing down. From hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. What flowed from the hands and feet? His blood. His grace flows down and covers me. You understand, we are participating in a cleansing when we remember communion. We're remembering the cleansing that we had when we came to faith in Christ. If you have come to that place in your life where you recognize, man, I have blown it. I have really blown it. And I am so sorry for having done that, God. And you recognize that's why Jesus died on the cross. Because I blew it. Oh, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me for blowing it. I believe that Jesus' blood on the cross flows down and covers me. Give me new life. Hey, you know, something that's really sobering to me is that I feel like you can be in church a long time and never have grasped that. I think there are a lot of people who, when they prayed to receive Christ, felt like they were just praying to get a better life, you know? People who maybe took a trip to an altar at a church camp or something just because they saw everybody else doing it. Or people who said, yeah, I want to accept Jesus, and didn't realize that what that meant was you saw how sinful you really are. And that sin is what Jesus died for. And in your brokenness, you said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. That is what communion remembers. It remembers his blood shed for us, and we participate in that. When we participate, we fellowship in that when we participate in the Lord's Supper. Now, I could tell you a million things, and I have almost 90 minutes, so I might, but I'm just going to give you a second one, I guess. And the second one is this. We participate in the church family when we have communion. Remember at the very beginning, I said, shake hands with people around you because this is communion. From the time you're shaking hands, this is, remember, communion means koinonia. This is fellowship. This is communion all the way till you say goodbye at the door from the church dinner. We participate in the body of Christ. You know, that verse in 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ, and is not the bread we break a participation in the body of Christ? Okay, when Jesus instituted this thing we call communion, the scripture says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And so these crackers that we have here before us, they are representative of the body of Christ. But here's something very important to know. That more often than bread, the New Testament speaks of Jesus' body as you and me. More often than this. He speaks of it as you and me. It kind of irks me when people talk bad about the church. Because they're talking bad about a very, very holy thing. The body of Christ. The body of believers. And that's something we should love, we should cherish, we should enjoy the people. We take the meal together in community. I listen to shortwave radio sometimes, and there's a guy on there that I listen to because he makes me laugh. He is such a heretic. And one of the things, though, that he often does on shortwave radio is he says, we're going to have communion, so go get yourself your grape juice and get your crackers, and we'll have communion. He loves serving communion over the radio. In fact, I think a lot of those guys like that love doing that over the radio because that'll keep you from coming here to do it, and you'll write your check payable to him, you know, understand? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, he's serving communion over the radio. I remember the first time I heard that, I was a lot younger, and I thought to myself, hey, that's not a bad idea. He says, okay, at this time, and he reads the scripture just like I do, and he says, let us take it together. And they take it. That's not a bad idea, doing that over the radio. And then he does the cup. That's not a bad idea, doing that over, because there are probably people who are sitting alone that can't get to church. That's not all bad, but it's not all good either. Remember I said when I was younger, I thought that's not a bad idea. But here's what's bad about it. Communion is designed to be taken together in community with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's designed to be a body thing, something that we do together to enjoy together. They're eating together when it happens. And the passage says, when you come together, this is 1 Corinthians 11:20, says, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each one goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Brothers, it shouldn't be this way, the Apostle Paul says. Communion is something that gives you a chance to show your love to one another. To show your love to one another. Man, I did not ask Mr. Bauman permission to do this. Leroy, I'm going to talk about you for just a second, and it'll be okay, all right? I usually ask permission before I do this, but you know that Leroy has trouble holding those little tiny cups. Right, Leroy? That's hard for you to hold, right? And the people who prepare communion every week, they get a styrofoam cup. And they put just a little tiny bit of grape juice in it, because you don't want to be drinking 12 ounces of that or 8 ounces of that. You know? And they get a little cracker, and it's sitting. Is it back there, Russ? Hold it up. Show us. See that? Right there it is. Yeah. You look like you're raising your glass for a toast, Russ. Okay. I love that. Leroy, I love you. And I love that our church family serves you that way. Ladies and gentlemen who prepare communion, I love it that you do that for Leroy. Because it reminds me that this is a meal that's to be celebrated together as brothers and sisters in Christ who love each other in every condition. Do you understand that? You're taking it together. You're eating together as a family and loving each other. And eating it together that way really even shows, it even shows how we depend on one another. Chapter 12, verse 21 says, the eye can't say the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say the feet, I don't need that. And if you know the context there, you know, he just said that you guys are a body. And you can't say, well, I don't need Leroy, or I don't need Matt, or I don't need Margaret, or I don't... We need everybody. Because we depend on one another. You know, the first century Christian, first century mind, would look at communion, and they would see the bread, and they would see the wine, and they would look at those two things and they would say, these are some of the most essential elements of life. They would say, these are the staples, the essential things of our existence. Kind of like today we might say bread and butter, you know, or Big Macs and coffee. Okay? These are things we absolutely have to have. The bread and the cup. And that's part of the reason, I believe, why Jesus said, this is my blood. You absolutely have to have it to be alive spiritually. This is my body. It absolutely must be given for you. Must be. But understand that when he says this body is something you have to have, he also means this body. You need brothers and sisters in Christ. You need a church family to care for you, to correct you, to help you. To love you. Okay, so what does all this mean to you and me? How do we wind this up? Pastor Steve, you've been rambling for a whole long time here. We only have 1 hour and 10 minutes left, so can you wind it up here? Yeah. The first thing it means is that as we come to this meal, we gather together as a family. We gather together around this table as a family. I wish the communion table was big enough that we could all sit around it in a circle. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. First and foremost, as we gather together, we appreciate Jesus. We appreciate His shed blood for us. And secondly, we thank Him for this body, for brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to tell us when we're wrong, who are willing to tell us when we're right, who are willing to encourage us and pray for us and love us. We pledge our love to Him and our love to one another when you take the bread and the cup. The second thing that this means to us is when we have this meal together, we recall our own guilt. Now, let me be real careful to say this. We don't wallow in guilt. But we recall the fact that, yeah, it was us who put Jesus on the cross. Margaret does exactly what my organist when I was a little kid did. When we're doing communion, she's not singing or playing. Sorry. She's not playing, "I'm in right, all right, upright, downright, happy all the time," you know? That just wouldn't fit, would it? She plays songs that have words like this: "Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Don't let me forget my guilt and how much you loved me in spite of that." Communion reminds us of that. And third, we celebrate. We celebrate the Lord's death. We celebrate communion. We celebrate the forgiveness of our sins. That as we have repented and placed our faith in Christ, our sins are remembered no more. And we walk in this world as men, as women, who have been redeemed. And during the communion time, we reverently and soberly celebrate that together. This is communion. This is what we do today.